Amen. Thank God for the peace we have in Christ, isn't it? A peace that passeth all understanding. Thank God for that. I was asking a question when Brother Stelzik was up here, and we get an advantage because we have the interviews beforehand, and something that I thought was very interesting, and it might not have meant as much to you because you didn't catch this part, but in a county, city, what do you call it? Area? What is it? What he said. In one of those places, a hamlet, is that what you said? Okay, a hamlet. In a hamlet with under 1,000 people, on Christmas of 2019, you had 50 people in service? Yeah, 50 people in service in a town of under 1,000 people. And that's impressive. And then COVID happened. And can you imagine being in that area and that happening? And so Brother Stelzik told us when they come back after COVID, they had one visitor, one person in church, and they built back up to 18. And so it just puts some perspective on things, and it's amazing. And I told them I appreciate their willingness and their ministry in that part of the world. I think it's wonderful that we get to partner with people that are going to that part of the world to share the gospel. And so I want to preach to you tonight out of 2 Peter. I really, up until Friday, all this past week, I want to kind of lead into my message a little bit. All this past week, I was studying in verses 16 through verse number 21. And as of Friday night, I felt fairly confident that I was going to be preaching out of those verses of Scripture. To the extent that Pastor Brandon and I were talking Friday afternoon, and I kind of was giving him a little bit, I was practicing my message on him. Sometimes if you share it with somebody else, you think, man, this sounds good. Or sometimes as you're sharing it, you're like, man, this ain't good. If I can't share it with them, I know I can't share it with all them. But I was kind of sharing some thoughts, and honestly felt good about what I was planning on preaching. He gave me a little feedback on it, and I felt confident that's what I was going to be preaching. And then Saturday morning, I got up and I began to kind of look over my thoughts again and think about some things and reading these passages of Scripture. And God just led me in a different direction. I felt like I didn't finish my message last week. And so I want to kind of continue the thought that I started last week. And I'm not going to re-preach last week's message by no means, but most of you were probably here. Maybe a few of you were not. But we started a series last week in 2 Peter. And I talked about how there's a difference between 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I won't read the introduction that I did last week, but I found one that a man wrote about this book that I thought was very interesting. He said in the first book, and I'm going to paraphrase what he said, in the first book, in 1 Peter, Peter was writing to some Christians to comfort them. And you'll remember that as we preached through the book of 1 Peter. They were going through some fiery trials. They were scattered, and he was writing to those scattered Christians, and he was trying to give them some comfort. But in 2 Peter, this man said, Peter wasn't writing to comfort this time. He was writing to caution. Peter was writing to caution these people against apostasy, against false teachers. I believe he was writing to these people to caution them against falling away. If you look in 1 Peter chapter number 1, there's a verse of Scripture where Peter talks about, verse number 10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I think Peter's writing to these people and he's saying, I don't want to see you fall. I think personally that maybe Peter was reminiscing a little bit about his own fall. And he started out the letter, we looked at it last week, with the word Simon Peter. He started 1 Peter with just Peter, right? But 2 Peter, he started with Simon Peter. And if you'll remember last week's message, I said there were some things that Peter wanted us to know. And the first thing that I believe Peter wanted us to know or wanted us to remember is who we are. Peter said, don't forget who you are. I'm Simon Peter. I haven't forgotten where Jesus found me, right? The Bible says, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Peter said, hey, I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten what I am. I haven't forgotten who I am. I'm still Simon. Yes, I'm Peter. I've been saved by the grace of God, but I'm still Simon. I've still got this old flesh that pastor's been preaching out of the book of Romans in. And so Peter said, don't forget who you are. And then we talked about not only that, but we said, don't forget what you have. In verses 2 through 4, Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us. You see, that word given is past tense. It's something that has already happened. When we got saved, when we obtained like precious faith, which he talks about in verse number 1, he's writing those people that have obtained like precious faith. Once we get saved the same way that Peter got saved, we have some things. We have everything, really. You know that when you got saved, you got everything. Everything you need for life, eternal life, for this life and eternal life, when we got saved, we got it. Everything. He said, we have been given, according to his divine power, have given unto us all things. The Holy Ghost doesn't waste words. We have all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. And so Peter said, don't forget who you are. He said, but don't forget what you have. You have what you need to live the Christian life. I gave you the example last week of putting together a bunk bed or putting together a child's toy. And I've put together a couple bunk beds and I've put together a couple children's toys in my day. Well, I haven't really. I've tried. I've started. And most of the time, my wife finishes because I'm not good at following the instructions. But I use that illustration to say that when you get a bed or a piece of furniture, a dresser, most of the time, I'm not gonna say every time, because you know, we're just living in that world today, but most of the time, everything you need is in the box. Sometimes there's more than what you need. I always get done and I think, well, they said too much. I didn't even use this. I was supposed to, but I didn't use it, right? You know what I'm talking about? You put something together, and then you got five or six parts left over. You say, well, they must have sent us extras, amen? But anyway, everything you need is in the box, right? Can I tell you, when you got saved, everything you need was given to you. Everything that I need for this life and to live godly and even for eternity. I believe when he said he's given unto us, by his divine power, given us everything that pertains to life, he's not just talking about this life, he's talking about eternal life. Everything we need was given to us. It was supplied. So Peter said, don't forget. Remember who you are. Remember what you have. And then last week, at the end of my message, I closed with, remember what you need to do. And I really didn't get into that part of the message very much because I had spent too much time on the first 2 points, as I'm doing tonight and most of the time when I preach. But I want to pick up kind of there on what you need to do. Verses 5 through 7, look at verse number 5. Peter said, and beside this, beside what? I believe he's saying beside what you have been given. Besides the divine nature that you've been given, besides the things that God has given you to live a life of in godliness that pertain unto life and godliness, beside those things, he says, giving all diligence, add some things. Now, there's some folks, I was talking to Brother Philip about this after church last week. There's actually many folks that believe that these things that Peter says in verses 5 through 7 are evidences of a person that is saved. I personally do not believe that. Now, I do believe that a person that's saved evidences these things, but I don't think they're just evidences of a person that's being saved. No, I think Peter is saying, I think it's very clear if you read the scripture, there's your part in this deal. There's a teaching, and I'm not real versed in the tulip, but there's a teaching amongst Calvinists that basically they won't say this, but if you read after them or you listen to them, and I don't suggest doing too much of that, they teach that basically we're robots. That we don't really have a say in the matter. We're just kind of robots. We don't necessarily have what we call a free will. But I think it's very clear reading here in 2 Peter chapter number 1 that Peter's saying you have a free will. There's some choices that you need to make. There's some things that you need to do. See, God has done his part. God always does his part. But God says, there's some things I want you to do. And Peter says, I want to remind you of these things. And I don't have time tonight to go through them. But if you read verses 8 through verse number 15, you'll notice, I believe it's 5 or 6 times. I've got it underlined in my Bible at home. I wish I was preaching out of that Bible. But these things is underlined in my Bible. And if you'll read down verses 8 down through verse number 15, you will see over and over. Verse 15, I will read that one. He says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter said, there's some things I want you to know. And these things I believe that he's talking about are in verses 5 through 7. Peter says, there's some things you need to do. And I don't want you to forget that. You say, what do I need to do? Well, you need to add some things. That word, that it says beside all this, alongside this, giving all diligence. I looked up that word diligence. It means earnestness. It means activity. It means effort. He says, given all diligence, add some things. Supply some things. I read where one man said that this word add is a musical term, and it's like adding instruments to the orchestra. And Peter's not saying that you just add one of these things. He said you add all of these things to your life. And that's what we need to do. That's our part. And so I want to just kind of look at those things one more time. He says in verse number 5, he said, beside this, given all diligence, given all effort, earnestly, add these things to your life. What is that? Add to your faith. That faith that precious faith that we got saved by. He said, there's some things you need to add to that. And number one, he says, virtue. You say, what is that? That is a boldness. That is a courage. That is a moral excellence. He says, add to your faith virtue. I find it interesting if you read through these. I may preach each one of these. I thought about doing it here on Sunday nights, but I don't want this series to last a year, and so I'm not going to. But I believe on some Wednesday nights, I may preach each one of these things to our teenagers because I believe they're all a message in themselves. Peter said, add virtue. Peter said, you're going to need some courage. I think if you study the life of Peter, these are all areas that Peter kind of struggled in. These are all lessons that Peter had to learn. And he says, hey, you need to add some virtue. You need to have some boldness. When you get saved, you're going to have to add to your faith. You're going to have to add some boldness, some courage, some moral excellency. You're going to have to get some manliness about you. You're going to have to make a decision that I'm going to live for God. And it's going to take courage. And he says, you need to add to that courage knowledge. We know, you know, young Christian gets saved, and I was one of those Christians. Boy, you get a lot of zeal. It kind of goes with virtue. Real zealous, real energetic, real bold, but you don't have much knowledge. I was that person. I've told some stories about me witnessing before I got saved. I think some of y'all might remember me witnessing to my dad and ended up, one of us went to jail. Because I had a lot of boldness, but I didn't have no knowledge, right? I was trying to get somebody saved, and then next thing you know, we're about to fight, right? That's not the way. But why? It was because I had virtue, but I didn't have no knowledge. Peter said, you're going to have to, I think Peter had some virtue, but there was times in his life he didn't have no knowledge either. You know, not so, Lord. I mean, no, Lord, telling Jesus what to do. Peter, you got some virtue, you got some boldness, but man, you don't have much knowledge. So you got to add some knowledge, and this knowledge isn't the knowledge that we talked about last week, epinosis. That's an experiential knowledge. If you look up this word knowledge, this is a mental knowledge, an intellectual knowledge. Peter said, you need to learn some things. And can I tell you, we as Christians, when we get saved, we need to add to our faith virtue. We need to have some courage, some boldness, but we need to add some knowledge. We need to read our Bibles. We need to study. I thank God for Sunday night church. You know what we're doing? Adding some knowledge, I hope. I hope somehow I give you something tonight that's gonna give you some knowledge in how to live this Christian life. And that's what we do in church and in Sunday school and on Wednesday nights and when we get together in each other's homes and we talk about the Bible, we're adding knowledge. And so Peter says, you need to add some knowledge, some wisdom. You need to add some temperance. That's self-control. Oh, how we need self-control if we're going to live this Christian life. Paul said, I bring my body in subjection. These convict me. I need to add these things to my life. Not just one time, all the time. God help me to exercise temperance and self-control in my life. We're going to talk about why here in just a minute. But he said, add knowledge, temperance, and add to your temperance patience. You say, what is that? That's a perseverance. That's an endurance. I was thinking about Brother Stelzik as we were in that interview. You talking about patience. You're talking about perseverance. You go to a place where it's in darkness, a place where you know, that's just not, it's not active, there's not a lot of people, and you're trying to reach them with the gospel. It's going to take some patience. You have to persevere. In this Christian life, we've got to add to our faith virtue, into our virtue knowledge, into our knowledge temperance, into our temperance. We need to add some patience. We got to learn to persevere through the hard times. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I'm just trying to remind you of some things. That's what Peter's doing in this letter. He says, I want to put you in remembrance of these things. He said, I feel it necessary. He said in verse 13, yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter said, I want to remind you, this is very important. You need these things. I need these things. He says patience. Then he says godliness. That's godlikeness. That's obedience to God. We got to obey God. Then he says brotherly kindness, and that's love for the brethren. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. We need to love the brethren. And then he says to that, charity. Look at verse number seven. He says, and the brother kindness, charity. And that's a love for people. That's a godlike love. That goes beyond just love for the brethren. That's love for the lost. He says, add these things to your life. That's what you need to do. And I as I said, you could preach a message on each one of those things, but I won't tonight. But I'll tell you this, I think that it's very important for Peter to continuously repeat these things in the next 6-7 verses. He's saying, hey, this is important. Amen. You need to add some things. You can't just let go and let God. And I realize that everybody here, I feel like, understands what I'm saying. But we can't just go through this Christian life just kind of, you know, thinking I'll just let go and let God and wherever it leads. No, Peter said, you better get diligent. You better work hard. You better earnestly and actively add some things to your faith. Why? And that's my message tonight. So we see who, he says, remember who you are. Remember what you have. Remember what you're to do. And this is my message tonight. Remember why you need to do it. Peter said, I want to tell you why you need to do it. And I believe in the next couple of verses, that's what he does. I think Peter lays out for us some reasons that we need to diligently, eagerly, earnestly add to our faith. I wonder, are you adding anything to your faith? How hard are you working at being a Christian? How hard am I working at being a Christian? We talk about doing something. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. The Bible talks about us being diligent in our labor, being diligent in our work. I wonder how diligent we are in our walk with God. How often are we trying to add some things to our Christian life? God, help me to add some knowledge. God, help me to add some boldness. God, help me to add some temperance, some self-control. God, help me to add some patience to my life. God, help me to add some godliness. God, help me to add some brotherly kindness. God, help me to add some charity. God, would you help me to put these things and activate them in my life? Why? Why do we need to do this? Well, number one, I believe it's because of the results. The results, look at verse number 8. He said, for if these things, I believe he's talking about verses 5 through 7. I believe that's what Peter's referring to here. He said, for if these things, the things that I just mentioned to you, those seven virtues or characteristics or graces of God are added to your life. If these things, look at verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound. They're growing. My patience is growing. You say, mine's not. It probably is. You say, my temperance is growing. My godliness is growing. It needs to be. He said, if these things be in you and abound, They make you. There's a result of that. They make you. That means they establish you. They are making you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother David, why should I add these things to my life? Why should I diligently work at putting these characteristics or these virtues into play in my life? Because if you do, there is going to be a result. They are going to make you, and my first point is this, effective. They're going to make you effective. Look at verse number 8. He says that ye neither be barren. That's an interesting word. I looked it up. It means inactive. It means idle. It means useless. Peter said, if you put these things to work in your life, they are going to make you that you not be inactive, that you not be useless, that you not be idle. We all know what idle is. You ain't going nowhere. Not doing nothing. That word in the Greek is very closely connected to labor. It's the opposite of labor. It literally means lazy. Right? Peter said, if you put these things to work in your life, if you'll add these things to your faith and your life, he says, they will make you that you won't be barren. So the opposite of barren, the opposite of ineffective is effective. Peter said, if you'll put these things to work in your life, you will be effective. I don't know about you, but I want to be effective. I want to do something for God. I want to make a difference in my generation. I'm almost about to get ahead of myself here, but we need to make a difference. We need to be effective. I'm afraid that we're living in a day where many Christians are idle. Many Christians are ineffective. Many Christians are barren. And you say, why? I don't know. Maybe they quit adding these things to their life. Maybe they're adding all kinds of other things to their life, but they're not adding these things to their life. Maybe they're diligent about their career. Maybe they're diligent about sports. Maybe they're diligent about their education. Maybe they're diligent about their bank account. Maybe they're diligent about, I don't know what all they may be diligent about, but maybe they're diligent about the wrong things. And Peter says, you need to be diligent about adding these things to your life. He's cautioning these people. And I'm trying to caution you tonight, brethren. We got to be diligent in our walk with God. We've got to add some things to our faith. We have a part in this. It's not God. We're not robots. God says, hey, I've given you everything you need. What are you going to do with it? You have to add some things. And so, number one, the result is you'll be effective. Number two, I think the result is you'll be experienced. Now, I use that word, obviously, for alliteration's sake, but I want you to see something in verse number 8. He says that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, that's ineffective, that's idle, right, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word knowledge there in the Greek is epinosis. That's the example that I gave last. I might not be pronouncing it right. If you're a Greek scholar, I'm sorry for mispronouncing that word, okay? I feel like I just got to be saying it wrong. But it's an experiential knowledge. I gave the example last week of Brother Brian. Some of you have heard about his eating. Some of you have experienced it, right? You know what I'm talking about. There's some things, it's not enough just to hear about it. You've got to experience it. And Peter said that if you will do these things and abound in these things, you won't be ineffective. You will be effective. You will not be barren. You will be fruitful. But he also said you will get some experience. He said you will not be unfruitful in your knowledge. Look at it in verse number 8. He said, nor unfruitful in the knowledge, in the experiential knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you put these things to practice in your life, the result is you're going to be effective and you're going to get some experiences with God. There's so many people say, man, I want to know God. I don't just want to know about God. I don't just want to hear and have a head knowledge of God. No, I want to know God. I want to experience God. Well, Peter said, if you'll do these things, You will not be unfruitful in your knowledge, in your experiential knowledge of God. Peter said, you put these things in practice in your life, and you're going to experience God in a way that you've never experienced God before. And for those of you that have done this, that have put these practices to work in your own life at different times in your Christian walk, you know what I'm talking about. You will experience God in a way that many people never experience God because they're not diligent in their work for God. They just kind of let go and let God. But when we get diligent and we add some things to our faith and we start working at our Christian life and doing our part, God said, Peter said, you're going to learn, you're going to experience God in a way that some people don't experience God. And I don't know about you, but I want to experience God. I don't just want to know about God. I want to know God in an experiential way. And that's what Peter's talking about here. He said, you need to know God. And he says, if you're going to do it, hey, why do you do these things? Well, you know, number one, you do it because of the results. Number two, I think he tells us, you know why you need to do it? Because of the risk. Look at verse number 9. Say, Brother David, why should I work at my Christian life? Why should I diligently and earnestly and actively add things to my Christian life? Well, because of the risk if you don't. Look at verse 9. He said, but he that lacketh these things. See, I just, if you read this in the context, I really cannot see how somebody thinks that these are evidences of a Christian person. No, these are some things that Peter says you need to add to your life. That's a choice. You with me? Amen. That's a choice. Peter said, if ye lacketh these things, but he that lacketh these things, he says if here in a minute, we'll get to that. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You say, why do I need to add these things to my life? Well, number one, because of the results. Number two, because of the risk. I believe the risk of not adding these things, you will become carnal. Look at verse 9. He that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off. Kind of reminds me of in the church of Laodicea. They were increased with goods. They were rich and had need of nothing. What did Jesus say? You're poor, blind, naked, naked. They give me a hard time about how I say that. Say, why do I need to add these things, Brother David? Because the risk. If you don't, you may become carnal. He said, you're blind and you can't see far off. You're nearsighted. Haven't you met Christians? Maybe you've been that Christian. You quit adding things to your Christian life. You kind of just started going through the motions. Let's just kind of get to where we live. Kind of going through the motions. I've been there. And if you've been saved long enough, you've been there. You quit adding. You quit being diligent about your Bible reading. You quit being diligent about your walk with God. You quit being diligent about your self-control and your temperance and your patience and your godliness and your virtue and your knowledge and your brotherly love and your charity. You quit being diligent about these things. And he said, you know what the risk is? You'll get nearsighted. You'll get carnal. You'll get your eyes off of eternity and you'll get your eyes on now. That's what carnal is. Carnal is you're living for now and not for eternity. But Jesus said, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. He said, you can't serve two masters. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. He said, but no, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, but not on here on earth. But you know, if we're not careful and we quit adding, we quit working, we quit doing our part in this walk of faith, if we quit diligently working for God and our walk with God, he said, if you're not careful, there's a risk. You will become carnal. All you'll be able to see what's right in front of you. All you'll be able to see is your job. All you'll be able to see is your banking account. All you'll be able to see is your 401k. All you'll be able to see is your team. All you'll be able to see is your home and your yard and your cars and all the things that are of this world. That's all you'll be able to see. Peter said, I'm trying to put you in remembrance of something. Over and over, he says, these things, these things, these things. Why is it so important, Peter? Because if you don't focus on these things, you are going to be blind and you're not going to be able to see far off. You're going to get your eyes on the things that are right in front of you and quit living for the things that are way out beyond you. And so he says, there's a risk involved if you don't do these things. And I believe the risk is carnality, but I don't believe it's just being carnal. I also believe it's being callous. Look at verse number 9. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's forgotten. You say, can a Christian do that? You better believe it. We all know somebody right now, probably, that has gotten so far away from God. They quit adding to their Christian life. That they can't see out. They can't see. Maybe, you know what I say, we all know somebody. Maybe we are that somebody. Or maybe we have been that somebody at some point in our life. Yeah, we've been saved. We started adding some things to our walk with God and began to grow and began to be effective in ministry and in doing things for God, and we began to experience God and know God in a more personal, in a more intimate way, not just a head knowledge, but an experiential knowledge. But somewhere along the way, we quit adding things to our lives, we quit being diligent about our walk with God, and now we're carnal, and if we're not careful, we'll become calloused. We'll forget where God found us. They've forgotten that they've been purged from their old sins. They've forgotten what God had done for them. It can happen. And Peter says, I'm trying to warn you. I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to forget who you are. I want you to forget what you have. I don't want you to forget what you need to do. And I don't want you to forget why you need to do it, because there's a risk involved if you don't. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Peter is real interested in us falling. Look in chapter number 3. Look at verse number 17. As he closes out this letter, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things. I think it's interesting he used that word again. Seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, look at it, fall from your own steadfastness. You can know these things and still fall. If you go back to chapter number 1, he says, wherefore in verse 12, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and you be established in the present truth. What I'm preaching to you is not something that you don't know. We all know these things. There's probably very few people underneath the sound of my voice tonight that doesn't know. I've got to do something in my walk with God. I can't just blow whatever way the wind blows. No, I've got to work on my walk with God. I have a part in my walk with God. And we all know that. And we're all established in that. But if we're not careful, we'll forget that. And then we'll become carnal. And if we're not careful, we'll become callous to the things of God. We'll forget what God has done for us. We'll forget how that God saved us. We'll forget how that God changed us. We'll forget all that God has done for us. There's all kinds of Christians all across our country and around our world tonight that are not in church, that once were effective. They once were experiencing God, but they quit diligently adding things to their life and they got carnal and now they're callous and you can't even get them to the house of God because they've forgotten what God did for them. Peter says there's a risk involved. Number one, the results. Number two, the risk. And number three, and I'm done, the reward. You say, why do I need to do this, Brother David? Well, Peter says, because if you do it, there's a reward. Look at verse number 11. Well, verse 10. Let me finish verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, he says it again, give diligence. I do not understand how the Calvinists, and I'm not beating up on the Calvinists, many of them are our brothers in Christ, why our brother Calvinists believe that we're just kind of robots going through this thing. Peter said it twice. Give diligence, rather, brethren. That word, but rather, brethren, means like give more. He says you need to earnestly and effectively give diligence. There's something you need to do. Say, what do I need to do? You need to look at it, verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You say, what's he saying right there? He, you're as saved as you'll ever be. Pastor's been preached on that for a couple weeks on Sunday morning. You're as saved as you'll ever be, but if you're not careful and you don't add some things to your Christian life and I don't add some things to my Christian life, you know what the devil will do? He'll come along and talk you into thinking you're not saved. He'll make you forget that you've ever even been purged from your old sins. He'll have you thinking you're lost. And you're not lost, you just quit adding. You just quit working on your walk with God, and you're not lost, but the devil will have you believing you're lost. And Peter said, hey, you better make sure, you better work, you better add these things so that you make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So you say, what's the reward for doing these things? Well, number one, it's assurance. It's assurance. If you'll do these things, Peter says, you'll have assurance that you're his. You'll have assurance that you're saved. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that need some assurance. And you know why they need some assurance? Because they quit doing these things. Or maybe they never even started. And they haven't added anything to their Christian life. And they're always wondering, am I saved? Am I not saved? I don't know if I'm saved. I don't feel like I'm saved. And all that may be so. Maybe you're not saved. But maybe you are saved, but you've fell into the devil's lie. And if you would start adding some things to your Christian life and working on your walk with God, he said, you'll have assurance. You'll make sure you're calling an election. It's sure. You'll know. You'll have assurance, but not only that, he said, not only will you have assurance, but you'll have abundance. Look at verse number 11. He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. He said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. That means given. That's literally almost the same word that's used in adding to your faith. He says in verse number 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. That means it shall be given unto you, generously given unto you, abundantly given unto you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, why should I do these things, Brother David? Well, because of the reward. You'll have assurance. You won't wonder if you're saved. You'll know you're saved. Pastor said, there's only one thing better than being saved, and that's being saved and knowing it. Say, how am I going to know I'm saved? Add these things to your life. Peter said, you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll have assurance. He said, but better than that, you'll have abundance. He said, one day you're going to get to heaven. And I was thinking about this, and I'll close with this. Last night, I wrote down a verse, 1 Corinthians 3. We may turn there before I close, but I don't think so. But last night I was sitting in my office, I don't know, 10, 10:30, getting ready to go to bed. Every Saturday night, just about, Meredith goes over the music for Sunday, and she'll start playing and practicing music and at the piano in the living room. And it'll kind of put Ren to sleep a little bit. So sometimes she'll play a little longer, and I'm in there praying, let her keep playing, God. Let her keep playing. Something about music. Saul used to. They get David to come and play. Spirit of the Lord, come on, Saul. You know the Spirit of the Lord came on me. I was sitting in my office last night, and she started singing a song. I asked her could she sing it tonight, but she wouldn't do it. The teen girls are getting ready. Well, some of our teen girls are getting ready to sing it. They've been working on it, so she didn't want to sing it before they do. But they're going to be singing it soon. And it talks about well done, well done. Thou good and faithful son. And I was sitting in there, and I don't know. It got all over me. I was preparing my message, going over some notes, and if it's ever happened to you, you know what I'm talking about. I just had to get out of my chair and get on my face. And I thought to myself, God, I just want to hear well done. Well done. I just want to hear well done. You know what? I thought about you, Brother Steve. I sat back here during that interview, And nobody else knew it, but I almost had an emotional breakdown again. I did. I come close in the corner over there. One time my lips started quivering. I had to pull myself together because I was thinking about that brother laboring up there in the North Pole. I don't know what else to call it. I'm not going to try to say that name. Tuck it. Yeah, nah. He's up there laboring with 1,000 people. He's not going to build a church with 10,000. He's probably not going to build a church this size. Maybe. God can. I shouldn't have said he's not. He may. Might get all 900 people there. God can do that. Wouldn't be the first time. That place could have a revival and God sweep through there and everybody in that community gets saved. But you know what? If they don't. If they don't. If he'll just add these things to his life. If he'll just add what Peter said to his life, he said there'll be an abundant entrance. You're going to hear well done. That's the reward. He says if you'll just live for me, if you'll just add some things to the faith that I've given you, he says one day you'll have an abundant entrance. I told my wife I probably shouldn't use this story, but I'm always doing stuff I shouldn't do. I'm a sinner, right? 1 Corinthians 3, you read it sometime. It talks about rewards. He said, some are wood, hay, and stubble. And he said, but they're going to get in, yet so as by fire. I think it's verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, maybe, 15, 16. He said, yet so as by fire. You know, there's going to be some people that's going to get to heaven. And they're going to have an, I just believe this. I think the Bible teaches this. There's going to be an abundant entrance. Almost like I don't want to really use this example, but like the Super Bowl team coming back into town, right? Kind of like a leader of a military that's went and conquered another enemy and is coming back, and the army's coming back into town, and there's a parade and everybody's waiting, and the welcome home signs and the whistling and the cheering. It's an abundant entrance. Peter said, if you'll do these things, read it. He said, if you'll do these things, you have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that tells me if you don't do these things, it may not be so abundant. You're going to get in, but yet as so by fire. I thought about this when I was a youngster, before I was saved. I'm using this illustration, but I'm not condoning this activity. Young people, you listening? I'm not condoning this activity. I already gave my daughter a warning about it. When I was young, me and a friend snuck out one night. Snuck out the house. Climbed out my bedroom window. Went just being dumb. Being young and dumb and just running around town. Thought we were cool. Well, anyway, my mom found out. I don't know how. I don't remember all the details, but I know this. When I got back home, I went to my window. It was locked. And this was before the days of cell phones and all that stuff. I mean, a handful of people had them big old ones that they had in their car, you know, big old bag cell phone. Right? But the door was locked, so I thought, what am I going to do? And so I sat out there for a little bit, you know, dressed all in black, looked like a thief. And so I thought, well, I'll just sneak in. And those of you that know me, I shouldn't be saying this on live stream, but growing up, it's different now. Growing up, they never locked the doors at my house, ever. We didn't even know where our key was. You know what I'm talking about? We didn't even know. My mom didn't know where the key was. We wouldn't lock the door because if we did, we'd have to break in to get back in. And so I mosey on around to the side. That dumb and that young, I thought, well, I'll just slip in real quietly, right? I go to the door and it's locked. Yeah. So what I have to do, I had to knock on the door. I knock on the door. She let me in, but it wasn't an abundant entrance. there wasn't no welcome home, birthday party. He's home. My son who was gone, it wasn't the prodigal welcome home, okay? Wasn't like the prodigal when he came back. Nah, and I'm afraid some of us, if we're not careful, we're going to get in. He's going to do what he said he was going to do. He's given us all things that pertain to life, this life and the life to come, and godliness. But if we don't add some things to that he give us, we're going to get in, but it's not going to be abundantly. It's going to be yet so as by fire. And I don't know about you, but I want to get in. And I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful son. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Peter said, that's the reward for doing these things. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness, and thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would bless it. God, I pray that you would use your word tonight in the hearts of your people. God, help us, Lord, to add some things to our walk with you. God, I pray that you would give us a fresh burden for adding things to our walk with Christ. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight and do what you desire in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. You can keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. You can stand to your feet.